Hare Krishna. Good morning, everyone. Yeah. So thank you for assembling all the Vaishnava devotees to come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll make an attempt. Okay, so let's have a look. So it's verse number 37 on the board, and there is verse number 36 to recite beforehand as well. So today we're reading from Canto 1, chapter 13. The chapter is entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. And it's text number 36, and then the verse on the board is text number 37. Okay, so reading from text. I'll just read the Sanskrit and English for text 36, then we can do 37 together. Translation. First, he slowly pacified his mind by intelligence and wiping away his tears and thinking of the feet of his master, Dhritarashtra. He began to reply to Maharaj Yudhishthira. So, to the verse on the board now. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sanjaya said, my dear descendant of the Kuru dynasty, I have no information of the determination of your two uncles and Gandhari. O King, I have been cheated by those great souls. Purport. That great souls cheat others may be astonishing to know, but it is a fact that great souls cheat others for a great cause. It is said that Lord Krishna also advised Yudhishthira to tell a lie before Dronacharya. And it was also for a great cause. The Lord wanted it, and therefore it was a great cause. Satisfaction of the Lord is the criterion of one who is a bona fide. And the highest perfection of life is to satisfy the Lord by one's occupational duty. That is the verdict of Gita and Bhagavatam. Dhritarashtra and Vidura, followed by Gandhari, did not disclose their determination to Sanjaya, although he was constantly with Dhritarashtra as his personal assistant. Sanjaya never thought that Dhritarashtra could perform any act without consulting him. But Dhritarashtra's going away from home was so confidential that it could not be disclosed, even to Sanjaya. Sanatan Goswami also cheated the keeper of the prison house while going away to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami also cheated his priest and left home for good to satisfy the Lord. To satisfy the Lord, anything is good, for it is in relation with the absolute truth. We also had the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such cheating was necessary for a great cause, and there is no loss for any party in such transcendental fraud. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Malitam Dena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yad kripatamaham vande shri gurum dinatarinam vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhye vacha patitanam bhavanebhyo navebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanyam prabhu nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So begging permission and blessings from assembled Vaishnavas here and online also, you know, so that I can maybe speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very elevated subject matter. So I don't feel qualified, but I've been given the opportunity. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So It's a very interesting chapter. We've been hearing all along that Dhritarashtra has been very attached and living at the home of Yudhishthir and the Pandavas, and some or other his very elevated brother Vidura has been merciful enough to instruct him in order to perfect his spiritual life. So Vidura has told Dhritarashtra that it's time to go. He's overstayed his visit, and he has to now prepare his time of making some austerities and sacrifice, and fix his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and break all these attachments. And Gandhari followed him. So in this particular verse, it's explained that Sanjaya said, my dear descendant of the Kuru dynasty, I have no information of the determination of your two uncles and Gandhari. O king, I have been cheated by those great souls. So when Yudhishthir Maharaj and his brothers, they came to the palace, and they asked Sanjaya, because Sanjaya is always, he's always with Dhritarashtra, and his the personal assistant, personal servant. So they asked him, where's our uncles? You know, where is Dhritarashtra, and where is Vidura? You know, and for that matter, where is Gandhari? You know, my auntie. So Sanjaya was saying, well, you know, he was a little bit speechless because he didn't have an answer. But during the battlefield of Bhagavad Gita, he had all the answers, you know, because Dhritarashtra was asking him, you know, what's happening over in the battlefield, and Sanjaya was able to tell, oh, you know, this is happening and this is happening, and, you know, so he's so empowered. But then now, simple question, where's your master? He said, well, I just don't know. It's like he was flabbergasted that Dhritarashtra would actually do something without checking with him or telling him, you know. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport that the great souls cheat others may be astonishing to know. You know? So, so he's saying that if you are a saintly person, then you're supposed to be good character, and you're supposed to not cheat anyone. You're supposed to be like exemplary in all ways. But he goes on to say that it says if one can do something which one doesn't normally do for a great cause, you know. So Srila Prabhupada, he's saying that just like it is said that Lord Krishna advised Yudhishthir to tell a lie before Dronacharya. You know? So now Yudhishthir, he's the son of Dharmaraj, you know, Yamaraj. So he's like, you know, he's a perfect person. He's representing Dharma, you know. Dharmaraj, you know, so he's never told a lie. But on the battlefield, Dronacharya, he was actually not following the rules of the warrior code. So what he was doing, he was a very, very powerful warrior, very powerful Kshatriya, but he was slaying even foot soldiers. He was doing things that normally the Kshatriyas, they wouldn't do. And he was so fierce in his fighting that he was annihilating the Pandava army. So then at that point, they were thinking, well, if this goes on like this, then they will have no army left. You know, they'll be wiped out. So they were thinking the only way that we can stop Dronacharya is if we tell him that his son Ashwatthama is dead, you know? And otherwise nothing will stop him. You know, if he hears that his son Ashwatthama is dead, then he'll be so distraught that he'll put his weapons down. If Bhima says Ashwatthama is dead, then Dronacharya won't believe him, because Bhima is Bhima, you know. He's a performer of Herculean task and a voracious eater. You know? So we have some voracious eaters here, so we're hoping that they're going to do some Herculean task as well. But if Maharaj Yudhishthira says that Ashwatthama is dead, only then Dronacharya will actually believe him. So Maharaj Yudhishthira, he didn't want to tell a lie. So then Bhima, he killed one elephant called Ashwatthama. So he said, well, you can say Ashwatthama, and under your breath, the elephant is dead. You know? Or there's two different stories. One elephant, one story is where he says, Ashwatthama, and then the conch blows, you know, and it says, is dead. You know? So they didn't hear the elephant. You know? So anyway, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was very reluctant, you know, when Krishna asked him to do this. But anyway, he did it. But he did it hesitantly. He was hesitant and he was reluctant, but he did it. So when Dronacharya heard that Ashwatthama is dead, then he was kind of very much shocked by that news, and he stopped fighting. It said that Maharaj Yudhishthira, he was asked to tell a lie for Dronacharya. So it's explained that the earth cannot withstand the weight of a liar, you know. So the earth can withstand any weight, any, you know, a burden, but apart from the weight of a liar, you know, that's too much, you know. So then somebody would say, oh, look, you know, Krishna is telling Yudhishthira to lie, you know, and he's supposed to be, you know, representing Dharma. So, you know, what's going on here, you know? And so, because anybody wanna say what's going on here? Why is Krishna asking Yudhishthira to tell a lie? Sam?
They broke the principles first.
Sorry?
They broke the principles of battle first.
Yeah.
So.
They broke the Kshatriya codes first, and similarly with Abhimanyu also, when Abhimanyu was only 16, so he was very young, and so many Maharathis, they ganged up on Abhimanyu, and they unfairly fought with him, you know? Therefore they killed Abhimanyu. So they did. If you're dealing with unscrupulous people, sometimes you have to use unscrupulous methods, you know. So it's written that you're not supposed to tell a lie, especially for saintly people. He said, but only on one condition, if it's to save a life. You know, so say if someone, you know, some rogues come, you know, and they say, "Where has Sutapa gone?" You know. So you know, and Sutapa might have gone on to the altar, and you could say, "Well, I don't want to tell a lie. I'll tell them he's gone over there." You know, but you could say, "Well, I'm not sure." You know. But in that case, then that's okay, you know, because it's for a higher purpose, you know. So, Srila Prabhupada says, such cheating was necessary such cheating was necessary for a great cause, and there is no loss for any party in such transcendental fraud. So this doesn't mean that people have a license to just go around and say, oh yeah, we heard it in the Bhagavatam class, you know, you can use any excuse, any lie, you know. like that. So sometimes, you know, kind of devotees, they kind of go overboard, you know. So I heard that once Srila Prabhupada, you know, they said that he drank once some 7-Up, you know. So then devotees think, oh yeah, Prabhupada drank 7-Up, so let's get cases of 7-Up and, you know, or sometimes they say, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, and then sometimes Prabhupada would say, oh, did I? You know? So then it can go on, you know. So sometimes people want something and they'll look in the scriptures or they'll look somehow or other to find some verification for something that they want for their own sense gratification. Anyway, interesting. Srila Prabhupada, he talks about the criterion of one who is bona fide, and the highest perfection of life is to satisfy the Lord by one's occupational duty, and that is the verdict of the of Gita and Bhagavatam. So samsidir haritoshanam, you know. Was it Atapumbe Dvija Shrestha Svanashrama Vibhagasa Swanisitasya Dharmasya Samsidir Haritoshanam? Who knows the translation? No. Come on, Nish. Go on, do your best. Yeah, so, you know, we have our duties in our, you know, according to one's occupation and one's ashram, and so many responsibilities are there. But ultimately, they are there so that we can come to the point of samsiddhir hari toshanam. So it's not hari toast and jam, it's hari toshanam. So that means to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, like that. That if your activities result in satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that means then it's perfect. But if all your activities result in anything other than satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His dear servants, then it's been a wasted endeavor. You know? So there's a nice verse here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of nice verses. That's why it's called the cream of all Vedic literature, the ripened fruit, isn't it? So this is Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 28 and 29. And it's Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramaka, Vasudeva Para Yoga, Vasudeva para kriya, Vasudeva param jnanam, Vasudeva param tapa, Vasudeva paru dharmo, Vasudeva para gati. So there's a lot of Vasudevs there, no? So sometimes I'm taking guests around and I'm showing them to Srila Prabhupada's rooms and things. So sometimes they just pick up the Bhagavatam there and I just turn the page and sometimes it comes on this page, you know. So I read the Sanskrit or the Roman transliteration, and just to give somebody, there may be a newcomer, just an example that this is, you know, Swami Prabhupada, he spent his life in translating this literature and making it available for us. And this Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses, you know. So it's not like, it's a huge task, you know. So, and I just give them a sample, you know, of one verse. So this verse came up one time and I was reading it for a group of people, you know, there was a mixture of Western and Eastern people. So, and then I read the translation, and for some newcomer, they think, wow, what is this? You know, and that, but then it's like, in the revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please Him. See? The purpose of performing sacrifices is pleasing. Yoga is for realizing Him. All fruitive activities are ultimately rewarded by Him only. He is supreme knowledge, and all severe austerities are performed to know Him. Religion, dharma, is rendering loving service unto Him, and He is the supreme goal of life. So after reading that verse, if someone doesn't know the aim of life, then they need their head tested. You know? Yeah, because it's very, very clear there, you know. It's like, it says that the object of all knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of God, that He is the object of all knowledge, you know. Like Prabhupada says that the universities, they have so many departments for, you know, economics, for science, for mathematics, for this and that. But he says, where is the department that teaches you who you are? You know? Yeah. Where is the department that teaches you how to establish your relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And those are the most important departments, and they're missing. So that's why in the lecture that we heard, I think last week, and Prabhupada on Monday, he was saying that the teacher is only the teacher if he's actually teaching the absolute truth. Otherwise, if he's not teaching the absolute truth, then he is a cheater. You know? So, and here, so the ultimate object of knowledge is the personality of God, and the purpose of performing sacrifice is to please Him. You know? But sometimes people say, "Oh, I want to do this sacrifice so I can make more money." Or, you know, I can get a nice wife, or I can, you know, go out, get on in the world. You know? But here it's saying the purpose of sacrifice is to please Him, you know. And yoga sometimes, nowadays it's very popular, you know. It's a yoga is to keep yourself slim and, you know, attractive, or it's it's to, you know, do some gymnastics or something. But here it's saying yoga is for realizing Him, you know. Like that. So yoke means to connect with or to link with, and so it's a link with the Supreme. That is the topmost yoga. And it says all fruitive activities are ultimately rewarded by Him. So whatever is coming, results, they're actually coming from Him. And He is supreme knowledge, and all severe austerities are performed to know Him. So if somebody is performing so many austerities for so many different reasons apart from pleasing Him, then it's misdirected. You know? So, you know, like Hiranyakashipu, he was performing austerities. He was standing on his tiptoes for a very long time, and he was keeping his arms up in the air and holding his breathing and things like that. How long does anybody know how long he was standing there for? 10,000 years, yeah. Well, it was quite a long time anyway. Yeah, it was enough for a kind of termite hill to, you know, kind of grow around him and eat all his flesh. So, and he maintained his life within his bone marrow, you know. So, I mean, he was performing a lot of austerities, you know, maybe more than we do on a daily basis, you know. But his austerities were for the wrong reason. You know? They weren't to please, to satisfy the personality of Godhead. They were to could become powerful so he could become immortal, you know, like that. He wanted to control, you know, the universe there. So then people do austerities, you know. And then it says, dharma, religion, is rendering loving service unto Him. So that is the... Anybody can do any service, but loving service, you know, bhakti amam, you know, like that. That is the most important aspect. So, if Shishir Radha Gokula Nandaji ki jai, Shishir Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishir Gaur Nitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah, so whenever we do something, like somebody cooks something and they say, "Here, Krishna, you have it," you know. But Mother Yashoda is cooking for him, you know, Srimati Radharani is cooking for him, so he's doing okay, you know, like that. He doesn't need our, you know, sabji and dal or something, you know. But But if we offer something to him with great love and affection and great devotion, then he will accept it. You know, like this this beautiful devotee Naresh, he used to come here with his wife and serve prasadam, you know, every Sunday. And unfortunately, just a couple of weeks ago, he left his body due to the coronavirus. But very exemplary. He used to tell me that when he comes, he had read in the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam toyam, you know, a fruit, flower, leaf and water. So he would bring like a little silver plate with flower on it and some fruit and some tulsi leaves and things. And he would put it there on the box to every Sunday when he used to come. Now, and then they would, him and his wife would serve all the devotees and all the guests, and they were so enthusiastic. They would come with the mood, I want to serve, you know. And if somehow or other we had other sponsors and they wanted to serve and this and that, and if they didn't get to serve, they would be very sad, you know, like that. So that was, so that person, he was like, he was doing something not because he had to do it, you know, or he would look good, you know, he'd look bad if he didn't do it, you know. He's doing it because he really wants to do it, and he's doing it with love. You know? So that's patram pushpam palam toyam yo me bhaktiya prayachati. So the key is bhaktiya. You know, you can do anything, any activity, or offer anything, but unless it's with bhakti, unless it's with devotion, then Krishna doesn't need to accept it. He's doing okay. You know, and, he's got so many wonderful devotees that are serving him with great love. You know, so. Anyway, that's just an interesting thing there. So, Srila Prabhupada, he is saying that Sanatan Goswami, he cheated the prison keeper and he escaped to go and see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, that pastime, Sanatan Goswami, he had deposited some a gold coin somewhere with someone, and but he was in the prison of Nawab Hussain Shah. So, but he wanted to go to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and surrender to him. So he told the prison guard, you know, the warden. He said that you're just like my uncle, you know, like that, and you know, you should be merciful to me, and I want to go and do my you know, prayers and go to the holy place, you know. And so he tried to plead with him in that way, but the guard wasn't very sympathetic. But when he mentioned that he had some gold coins with somebody, then the guard was more receptive, you know. So, but then the guard was worried. He said, what happens if the Nawab finds out that I've let you escape? He said, well, tell him that you took me to the river to do my daily ablutions or to pass, you know. And just tell him that I jumped in with my shackles, you know. So he said, oh yeah, that's a good excuse, yeah. So anyway, so Sanatan Goswami, he cheated the prison warden, you know. But what did he do that for? So that he could go and be engaged in the loving service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not that he could go and just have a good time, you know. So then it's explained that Raghunath Das Goswami, he also cheated his priest and left home for good to satisfy the Lord, you know. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he belonged to a very aristocratic family. They were jamindars, and they're very, very extremely wealthy. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he wanted to leave home and go and be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and serve him. So he would run away every so often, and his dad would send people to go and find him and bring him back. And things. And then eventually what happened is his father said to his mother that how are we going to keep him here? Because, you know, we've got huge, so much wealth, you know, that he can have anything he wants. And he's got such a beautiful and young wife, you know. So he said, all this, he's got everything that anybody would ever want. Now, what are metal or rope chains going to do when these chains are not going to keep him here of this material attraction, you know? So there's no hope. Eventually, Father gave up and he said, okay, let him go, but send some men and, you know, give them some money, for whatever he needs, you know, like that. Let him go and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he got his way, but he was running away not to try and avoid, you know, doing his duties, but he was running away for a higher purpose, which was some Siddhir Hari Toshanam, to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, interestingly here, Srila Prabhupada says, we also had the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, such cheating was necessary for a great cause, and therefore there's no loss for any party in such a transcendental fraud. So people might say, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he walked out on his family, you know, and he went off to Vrindavan to do his own thing, you know. And then they think, whoa, you know, that's not very exemplary and all that, you know. Some people will say, or some people will use an excuse that, you know, if they're not getting along with their wife, you know, after 6 months of marriage, they'll say, oh, look, you know, Prabhupada left and, you know, like we can do all that. But, what was it? They say love at first sight, divorce at first fight. I mean, so they might accuse, but actually, the fact of the matter is, Srila Prabhupada, he married in 1918. He got married in 1918 at the age of 22. And then he was married to Radharani Devi, that was the name of his wife. And he took initiation in 1933. And then he left home in 1950 to be a vanaprastha. You see, so how many years is that? Have you got any mathematicians here? Huh? 28 or is it 38? Is it 28, yeah? Huh? So, okay, so 1918 to 1950. 32 years. Okay, you failed your maths exam. So anyway, that was he wasn't there for just 6 weeks or something, and then he cleared off to Vrindavan. So he was there for 32 years. You know, in that time, it was enough time to establish the family and allow the children to be grown up, and you know. And then it came to this one point where Srila Prabhupada's manuscript for the Gita, his wife took it to the pawn shop and pawned it for tea. I don't know if it was tea biscuits or tea, you know, it doesn't make much difference, you know. So he came home and he's asking, you know, where's my bug, you know, the manuscript for the Gita? So she said, oh, I took it to the pawn shop and I pawned it off to get some tea or something. So then he said to her, he said, this is after 32 years of living with her and the family. He said, it's either the tea or it's me. And she said the tea. So he said, okay. So then he said, you keep the tea and I'll keep the Bhagavatam, you know, like that. So he left. And then he took Vanaprastha. You know? Already in 1947, which was 3 years before he left, he was already, that preaching mood was right there, you know, because he'd already started publishing Back to Godhead magazine in 1947. So, of course, one devotee asked him, you know, Prabhupada, were you always remembering Krishna? Was there a time when you didn't remember Krishna? And Prabhupada said, no, there was never a time when I didn't remember and was conscious of Krishna. You know? So, anyway, so Srila Prabhupada then, he went to Vrindavan, and he continued his Back to Godhead magazine, and he continued to translate Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, volumes 1, 2, and 3 that you see in Srila Prabhupada's rooms upstairs. The original copies are in the bookshelf on the left-hand side. And then he was fulfill the purpose, the mission that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his Guru Maharaj, had given him. And he was living in... First, when he went to Vrindavan, he was staying at the Vamsi Gopalaji temple. Dhammadhyaya in the beginning. And he was on the roof one day and he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and he came across this verse, Yasyaham anugrinami harishye tadhanam shanai. And that verse means that if the Lord showed you his very special mercy, then he takes everything away from you. So then you only have him left, you see. So that's, you know, so he was thinking, you know, I'm here penniless, all my family, my friends, you know, all my loving mother and father and, you know, all my wealth and so many things and so many people, where are they now, you know? And he said, just a list of names, you know. He says, but then he read this verse in Bhagavatam, he became very happy, you know, that he, Krishna, Harishyata Dhanam, Hari is Krishna. If Krishna takes something, Krishna never takes something from anyone without giving them something better in return. So then he was fine, he was happy, whatever. He says, Marobi, Rakobi, Jo Ichha Tohar. You know, whether you maintain me or you kill me, it's whatever it is. I'm surrendered unto you. You know? So then Srila Prabhupada, then he moved to Radha Damodar temple and he was doing his service and he was praying to Srila Rupa Goswami, because if you have been to Radha Damodar temple, from Prabhupada's kitchen, there's a little slat in the window and you can see the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. So he was praying to Srila Rupa Goswami that please empower me to do this work, and then one day Srila Rupa Goswami actually came and told him, okay, go now, you know. So anyway, but Srila Prabhupada said one time, he said that if you want me, I'm in my books, you know. You will always find me. And also, he said, I'm there at the Radha Damodar temple in my rooms, you know. He's present there. So if you go, any devotees have been there? Yeah. So very, 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 very special atmosphere, you know. Amazing place. So, then Srila Prabhupada, he did his mission. And his the whole purpose of his life was samsiddhir haritoshanam, to somehow or other please the personality of Godhead. So this Srimad Bhagavatam we are reading now, this is a result of his sacrifice and his attempt to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So otherwise, if he hadn't left home, he decided to stay there until he's 90 years old, you know, we wouldn't have this Bhagavatam and we wouldn't have this Krishna consciousness movement. You know? So yesterday, we did an online program with Sutapa and some nice families where an elderly lady had passed away, but she was very Krishna conscious, you know. She left with chanting Lord Ram's name, and she told the family, just take, you know, take everything, I don't want anything now. She was prepared and she was fixed, you know. So they were thanking her so much, so they're very appreciative. You got the text, huh? So yeah, so they were very, very, they said that this is like, oh, it's like Krishna, you know, acting through the devotees, because it's a difficult time for people when their loved ones pass away. But then I said to them, actually, you know, if Srila Prabhupada hadn't done all his sacrifices and hadn't come and he hadn't come to the West, if he hadn't gone on the Jaladuta and established this Krishna consciousness movement, we wouldn't know anything. We wouldn't even be here, you know. We'd be in, I don't know, but probably me, I would be in the pub, you know. Like that, you know? But, you know, thanks to Srila Prabhupada, you know, I've been saved from that. I mean, we did go into pubs in Scotland, but not to drink, but to, you know, do Sankirtan. You know? Like that. So, okay, I'm going to stop there. If anybody has any quick question or any comment or any criticism, please do air it. Okay, Arun.
Harishabhu, thank you for the class. I was just reading about the pastime of Vamanadeva.
Yes.
And Vamanadeva also actually cheats, like he lies, because he just comes as a small Brahmin boy and then...
Oh yeah, Lord, Trivikram, so, Lord Vamanadeva. Yeah, he cheated Bali Maharaj.
Bali Maharaj. So, but in this case, how do you define, because it's the Supreme Lord himself cheating, so... How does the parameters change in this situation, if you can?
Well, the thing is, everything belongs to him, the Supreme Lord. You know, he is the cause behind all causes. So, if everything is his anyway, if he says, "Oh, give it back," you know, what's the problem with that? You know, so So Lord Vamandev, he came and he said to Bali Maharaj, just give me 3 steps of land. And Shukracharya, who's the spiritual master of Bali Maharaj, said, no, don't trust this small Brahmin boy. He'll take everything. But Bali Maharaj was very charitably disposed and he never refused anyone. So he said, no, I'm stick to my principle. You know, if he's asking for something, I'll give him. And he said, I'm only asking for 3 steps of land. So then he said, okay, with this first step of land, he covered the lower and middle planetary system because he started to grow, you know, grow bigger and bigger. And with his second step, he covered the higher planetary system. So then he said, well, what shall I give him? He's taken over the whole universe already. So then he said, Bali Maharaj, he was actually in the line from Prahlad Maharaj. So he was actually very fortunate, very blessed in that way. So then he said, okay, there's nothing else I have. Put your third step on my head. You know? So that means I'm surrendering to you. So he disregarded the instruction of the guru of the demons, Shukracharya, but to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So yeah, Krishna, he's very tricky, you know, like that. So he'll get what he wants one way or the other. So we offer it to him voluntarily or he'll take it anyway, you know. So, but when we offer to him voluntarily, we get benefit, you know. Thank you very much for that. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vaishnava Sangha Vaishnava Seva ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi Haribol.